Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of Brain Pops. My name is Lennart Stechmann, the usual host, and I'm hosting with the great Dom Zeps. Hey Dom, how are you doing?
Lennart, my friend, how are you? Good to hear you. Finally English again, I like that.
Finally in English again? And yeah, I'm good. Pretty tired. I had just a pretty important practice, you know, with the Oberliga. That's why I'm a little bit late, and I had to let our guest waiting a bit. But I'm so glad that he actually was waiting.
One thing I think we have to explain: Oberliga. Maybe not everybody knows. It's pretty low level, right?
I would call it the highest. Highest competition in amateur basketball. That's how I would describe it.
That's a smart answer. I like it.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, we're just fucking around. Oh, can I? Yeah, I can curse.
Can you
Dom,
please
introduce our guest, please?
You want me to introduce him? Of course, yeah, because he's sitting
of
here.
Course.
He wants to say something desperately. I feel that already. It's one of my good colleagues. Yeah, I've been working with him now for, I don't even know, 4 years. I think it's four, something like that. But, you know, let's cut the long story short. I'm very happy that he is here today, finally. I mean, he was meant to be here already earlier. His name is Hilke van der Zweep, and we like to call him also the Dutch Stallion. Hey, Hilke.
Hello, guys. How are you?
It's so great to have you here. This is going to be, I already feel the vibe. This is going to be fun.
It will be.
Yeah, you guys look extremely tired, if I'm honest.
That's not the best compliment I had today.
Tired but happy. You know, you guys look like you had a very long but successful working day. The season has started, I feel.
Yes, it has, and I mean, we started great, I have to say, with a big win over Ulm last weekend for the cup first game. So yeah, pretty happy about the start of the season.
Nice, yeah, and as I know, Johan, he takes it easier than on you guys and takes the foot off the gas, like we know him.
Yes. I mean, Johan is can be so relaxed in practice week. Well, the thing is, this year with the cup, it's a pool phase, so it's not one win and you're on to the next round. So we had a good first win, but nothing's done yet for the cup. We still need to win basically two more games or get extremely lucky and win one more to continue to the next round. So hard work this week.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, and that's basically already our first question, since you're the assistant coach and responsible for a lot of things on and off the court, and that's what we want to talk about. And yeah, where do we start? Like, maybe you can give us a little bit, or Dom, did you wanted to do the outview first? How he became a coach, or do we just want to dive right in?
I think first of all, we haven't done that yet, Lennart. I mean, there might be puppies out there who it's highly unlikely, who maybe don't know Hilke. So we have to say,
yeah, you're right. I'm so glad you're at my side and like always taking care of that. It makes sense for the puppies.
Yeah, that's why I have to say Hilke is the assistant coach for Brose Bamberg, and he has been also the assistant coach for BG Göttingen the last years. So I think that's very fruitful information we had to give to the puppies first of all. And now I would kindly ask Hilke just to give us, you know, a little outline about your journey. I mean, I know you didn't start in basketball, but, you know, just pick us up and tell us how it all started.
Well, I think I can do that. Well, it basically started with football. When I was 7 years old, played football for 5 years as a left midfielder, left defender and a goalkeeper. And then as I was switching sports a little bit, started playing basketball, I was 11, 12, somewhere around that age. And then, never left the beautiful sports of basketball. I had some talent in the youth, but got injury or a couple injuries around 17, 18, 19. So that's basically was the end of my career. still kept playing at the Oberliga level, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same excuse. Injury stopped me, you know, that's why, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I started coaching then, and I mean, coaching got from like a fun thing to do once a week to super extreme hobby, basically 6-7 days a week. Next to my full-time job, I was working in plants and flowers as like a manager, assistant manager, team manager, all that kind of stuff. All the in-between functions.
You worked in the flower business for how long?
Until the last... this is my... Let's see, 4 or 5... This is my 6-year professional basketball coach. So, yeah. 6 years ago, I stopped, basically.
And on a little side note here, sorry, Hilke. I have to say, I think it's always amazing when he, you know, usually he takes care of the flowers in our practice gym.
Yeah? Plants, not the plants.
Sorry, the plants, of course, my bad.
Big difference.
Big difference, yeah. But the way he, I don't know, he treats them or he just handles them, the way he looks at them, Leonard, it is just different. I think it's really masculine. I don't even know how to say. I think people have to see it in order to be on my side, that they can also judge it. I think it's hilarious. But keep going, please.
So, yeah, working full time in plants and flowers and doing basketball as a side job, basically. But it was pure hobby. And it got more serious and then started coaching a national team, like under 14, under 15. And that's when I basically met Johan, when I got asked to be assistant coach with the under 18 national team. And I think it was in 2013, 14, somewhere. I don't even remember. So Johan was the head coach of the under 18 national team of Holland. And I assisted them at the European Championship. And we played in Bulgaria back then. So that was my first basically contact with a professional basketball coach. And we always stayed in touch, and basically that's how I ended up in Göttingen a couple of years later.
Yeah, and I had the pleasure to have you as assistant coach for 1 year, and when, I don't know, like I have one youth kid I'm playing with right now, and I just told him that we'll record this podcast, and so I asked him if you coached him, because I thought, okay, maybe age-wise, when you back in the day, you also were the head coach of the NBBL here in Göttingen.
Yeah.
And I asked him and he said, yeah, that's the best coach I ever had. That's the 1 year where I actually learned stuff.
That is always good to hear. Who were we talking about?
And then we were talking about like how great you are as an individual coach, like how fun those exercises always were and that you really took time for the players. So...
Well, happy to hear that.
That's something I had to say for this podcast to let you guys know what type of coach Hilke is. Let's go a little bit into detail and see what you are doing right now or been doing in Göttingen and doing right now in Bamberg, since you've been in this role for a couple of years now, as you said. Take us through some your most important or interesting tasks you think you have. Or maybe like the daily routine somehow, like take us through some stuff of your day.
Well, the daily routine that differs basically every day. That's a preseason. It's practicing, then individual workouts, extra workouts with the players, and then video from practices, stuff like that. I mean, that's still pretty easy workload wise. And the season, my main job is to prepare the scouting from the next opponents, basically. That's what I do. And that goes from watching games, cutting clips from our next opponents. So let's say their pick and roll defense or what kind of offenses they run. So I scout all their tactics in offense, what kind of systems they run. And then there's the personnel, of course. So player X wants to go left, player B is a shooter, player Z is a cutter, stuff like that. So I basically build a report about the team biggest way that I can. And I overfeed that information to Johan, and I think Johan, or I know Johan, picks out what he needs from that. So he basically filters it and gives it that to the players.
Basically, on a very, very much smaller scale, I also did your job once back in the day when I did the FSJ. I also did. I mean, I just did the video cutting basically and like some small stuff. But yeah, that's when Johan back in the day didn't have an assistant coach and like kind of did. I mean, obviously he did most of the work just by himself alone. But then he tried to do some like some smaller stuff. He gave to us FSJ last back in the day.
Yeah.
So I kind of know a little bit about your tasks, and I think it's just super interesting how you and Johan by now have like scout opponents, because I think this is really, really unique and very special, and with attention to the detail, how you guys prepare for games. And maybe you could take us a little bit through, I don't know how much you can tell us, but through the workflow without, you know, like, you know what you can say and whatnot.
I think so. Well, first I have to mention Jimmy as well, our Julian Meyer, sorry.
Jimmy, his name is Jimmy.
Yeah, nickname Jimmy. He also provides Johan for every game and opponent with a lot of information.
With the stat, we talked about that.
Yeah, exactly. And then, what do I do? Normally I watch like 3 or 4 games from my next opponent. So normally it's the last 3 or 4 games that they played. And then I start with watching the game and cutting all stuff that I found interesting about that team, what's like specific for that team. And it might be that something stands out for me and I make a video clip of that. And then 4 games later, I figure out I have only 1 clip. So then, you know, it's interesting, but they only done it once. So it's not important for that team. But I don't know that if I just started a game, game 1 that I scout. So that's how I cut like all the things that are interesting, and you'll figure out tendencies from teams. So if they full court press, let's say, a lot. And then what I do, I make MP4 clips of everything. I sort them in folders. And it goes from offense to defense, and I made baskets, of course. And maybe some sets that end of game stuff that they run or whatever, special things. That usually is about, I would say, 300-400 clips, including made baskets, that I hand over to Johan. Yeah, it's a lot.
And, I mean, that's at least 1 possession each clip, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So at least about 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly it's around, maybe a little less. Made baskets are normally a little less, but yeah, around 20 seconds.
A lot of video, let's say.
It's a lot of video. Yeah,
so that's what I also have to say. I think from the outside, if you know, somebody looks at it and you say, yeah, he cuts video, it's really easy to underestimate what he is really cutting. So, and how long it takes to cut all these clips.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting part is, I mean, cutting a made basket, that's easy because, you know, that's something that everybody can see who scored that basket. But, specific tendencies to recognize that in offense, you won't find them on the big databases, let's say Synergy or Instat or whatever databases there are. That's basically a database where you pay a lot of money for, and then you can get online, they scout the games for you, basically, and you can extract from that website every rebound from player X in year 2018 or whatever.
That saves time, probably, right?
Yes and no. Yes, it saves time because you can right away click on, for example, rebounds player X. But no, it does save time because you have to download everything. And if it's about one specific thing, it's 10 times easier to check it up online. If I've done it once, check the time for downloading made baskets from one game and cutting them by hand, and it's basically just as fast.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
but then if you're downloading it, you don't have to actually work yourself. You can just let it run.
Yes and no. Because now we're getting into the details.
We're really getting into detail now.
Probably only you like this topic because you've done it.
Yeah, exactly. Like that was exactly my job, like cutting those clips. And I remember Johan specifically talking about this platform because back in the day we didn't have the money to work with it. And he was just, you know, the big teams.
It would be so amazing. They
all work with this and it's so much easier. And then your job is basically digital or whatever. And now you tell me this whole thing is actually not worth it, basically.
No, or
is
that's it just not what I'm saying. Cutting? That's I'm
I
saying
mean, if just you, if for you, that particular use case, just for that
particular
you know
use case, you don't save a lot of time with it.
Okay.
But for example, if we want 20 rebounds from player X to see how he gets his offensive rebounds. And he gets 3 a game, I cannot check 7 games for that rebound. That's going to take me a lot of time, right? If I need 20 rebounds from player X, for example.
Yeah.
Then that database
and
gives me that in
the time.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's where you actually win a lot of time. So yeah,
and you can also like watch it and look for tendencies yourself and you don't even have to download it again.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But I mean, not all the tendencies are cut or are online, stuff like that. So I still always want to watch it myself.
And then you were talking about like about the 400 clips you give to Johan, and then he looks at all of them. And
yeah, he basically checks every clip, and most of the time he watches one or two or maybe 3 games as well from that team. And He picks out what he thinks is important for the team to know. Because I basically give him everything. Everything is way too much for the players. You know, especially if you play multiple games a week, then you just overfeed them. They have to play basketball, not think about basketball.
Yeah, those are when you two discuss what you give to the players and whatnot. That's what I we could make a podcast with that also.
Oh, for sure,
that should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, just put a mic in the office.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Easy. I'm sure he's all right with it.
Yeah,
Dom,
yeah.
Shoot another question.
Yeah, what about let's say when you're sitting on the bench? Yeah, you know the sets.
In the game.
Yeah, during the game, you know the sets from the opponents.
I hope so.
Like, does it happen often that they're on a set you don't know?
No.
Not
barely.
Really?
Barely? No, it happens sometimes, especially in preseason.
Okay,
of
course.
The first games of the season when they change one or two things.
Probably like little wrinkles, huh? Also sometimes during the season.
Yeah. But I mean, I would say 9 out of 10 times... Johan and me will always check after the game and we're like, nothing new, good scouting.
But I think that's really impressive that nothing is...
No, because you watch so much clips and so much games and so much, hours of video that, it gets in your system. And what really helps, I mean, I started to notice it now and Johan does it for a longer time already. If you're in the league... I mean, coaches have also tendencies. So if a coach switches team, they might play the same offense as they did last year, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some coaches that stay with longer.
We could ask an obvious question here. Has that been happening as of lately?
Well, not in Bamberg. I mean, all the sets are completely new, Leonard. We always adjust sets for our personnel.
But I'm sure the other coaches
will think different.
But let's keep talking about in-game coaching or what also your tasks are during the game on the bench.
Ooh, my task during the game on the bench.
You get super mad, I know.
Yeah, and then I how do you say that in English? Celebrate my aggression on you.
Yes.
Because Dom is always next to me and I don't want to scream at the players. I scream at Dom. Oh, Dom, we knew this was going to happen. Shit. Yeah, that happens. No, my task in the game, feed Johan information, of course. Everything that I see that stands out, that I notice, I'll give to Johan. Maybe... remind him of some sets that he wants to get reminded of. You know, he gives me, normally he gives me like one or two tasks before the game. Hey, make sure you keep track on this and this. And that can be specific sets or matchups, stuff like that. So yeah, I feed Johan information with that. If we want specific matchups on the court, so let's say we want Dominic Lockhart to defend the best shooter from the other team, you know, and then if the best shooter comes on,
that's a risk. That's a big risk.
I remind Johan, hey, Johan, this player is on the court. Do you want Lockhart on the court? Yes or no? For example, you know, and of course Johan always makes a decision, and sometimes yes, and sometimes no. That's really important to know as an assistant coach, and I think also as a player, it's never personal. So, you know, sometimes he doesn't have time to react to me because he's coaching. And then, you know, our communication can be really short, and especially for outsiders, sometimes it can look that, you know, we are angry at each other or whatever. We just communicate really short because we need to spend our time on more important things that are happening on the court.
Yeah, but it probably, you guys already working this long together, in Germany you say you communicate with the eyes already, you know, mm-hmm. like there's, you only need one look and then sometimes you already know what the other one is thinking.
Oh yeah, basically. For sure. I mean, that's
because you guys see the same stuff, you talked about it over and over again before games probably.
Yeah, that's totally right. And like you said, the longer you work together, the more you're gonna have that. Yeah, and what else do? I always write a lot of stuff down during the game, and it's basically, you know, I'm filtering information from that, what I write down, to give to Johan at the start of every timeout, in between quarters, in the halftime, just tendencies that I'm noticing. You know, they always score from the low post, the other team, so do we want to change that or not? Or this offense works really well for us, we get three open looks, so we want to keep running that, stuff like that. Just feed him information.
Keeping track of the game plan and how it's going.
Yeah,
that sounds so interesting already, and very much as a, let's say, basketball enthusiastic, very fulfilling in a way. But then also at the same time, I see like possible frustrations, let's say. Like, for example,
explain.
When we talk about preparing for a game, and you and Johan just figured the team out, you know, I guess sometimes you have that feeling like, we know it all. We practiced it. The players understood. Like, we went way into detail. We all really know there's no way they come up with something that we don't know. And then the team goes out there and it all goes to shit. Like, you know, like there are those days. There's just...
That happens.
Maybe...
We've had those.
You know, and then how do you handle that? Because basically that's nothing you can control, really.
No, that's true. How do you handle that?
To a certain extent.
Teams totally surprises us. I mean, I think I had it once. That a team surprised us. What do you mean?
Not even when they surprise you. When they do the stuff you scouted and it's still working. Because the players cannot do what you've been telling them, basically. Because they just, I don't know. Sometimes you have a bad day. You're not there mentally. The shots are not falling. Maybe you're even doing everything right, but you're still losing.
Well, if you're doing everything right and you're still losing, then you did everything you could. Then we can totally live with it. But if we're not doing the things we're supposed to do, then we'll keep searching for the player who who does what he needs to do. And you know, we have 12, so
your aggression is always coming my way from Hilke when things don't work the way they're supposed to work.
Yeah, but but I was heading, obviously, during the game, you try to control as much as you can and help the players and get them back into rhythm. Yep. I'm talking more like emotionally after the game.
After the game?
Yeah, like how do you handle that if that happens sometimes? Like, is that like I'm aiming for the question like satisfaction from the job, because I at the one side I see it how fulfilling it can be as a basketball enthusiast and whatever, and then how frustrating at the same time.
Yes. I mean, it can be frustrating if you prepare really well and it doesn't work. How do you handle that? I don't know.
Just check after
it. Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between my role as an assistant and how I was as a head coach 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago or with the... because I don't actually really know how Johan does it, but now as a pro, you know, it's pretty easy. Yeah, forget it, learn from it, focus on the next game. Yeah. And that's not easy at that moment, but that's...
Easier said than done.
Yeah. That's way easier said. That's how it should be. And we'll watch video, of course. So, and then we have to learn from it and then maybe practice extra on it or whatever. As a head coach... And especially when I was coaching youth back in the days, I was pretty lucky to coach some nice age groups with some talent. And I was always expecting way too much as a head coach. I remember that. And then it didn't work in the game. And then I was screaming, "Hey, we practice it the whole week. And how do you forget this?" and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I learned, and I'm not sure who told me that or read that, or is that, you know, if the team doesn't do what you are hoping them to do, then, you know, it's basically your communication or your way of practice that didn't work good enough. So I'm always trying to look into myself, what I should improve in my practices and coaching, that the players can do what I expect from them. But that's, I think that's a little different than professional basketball.
How? Because it's not as...
Because professional athletes, they've been in so more situations, they should know better. You know, they should be able to pick it up in 1 week practice, basically. And, you know,
yeah, that's what you expect. They're pros.
And yeah, exactly. What
you were just talking about, they're kids.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's a difference in that.
You see a different responsibility, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And as a coach as well.
That's interesting. It's a very interesting thought. Yeah, I like that answer.
Okay. Well, thank God.
Psychologist likes it, Dom. You passed the test. We can keep it. We can air it. Okay,
Mr. Sophist-
Dom, you can let him know now that we're actually airing it. Before this, it was all fake.
Mr. Sophisticated, huh?
Yeah. Thank God he likes it.
Get us back on the road, Dom.
Yeah, you know, I just want to keep talking about, you know, the bench during the game. I mean, we had that the last two episodes, but I also want to hear it from you. What is different now since there are not that many spectators anymore due to Corona? But maybe also in general, what's really important for you on the bench? Is there anything you tell yourself what you definitely want to show on the bench, behavior-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I know where you're going. I know where you want to go.
You know me, huh?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's also Dom just wants confirmation so he can act like a fucking maniac on the bench.
give him clearance to act like a maniac. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's our team that is known for it. We had it last year with Göttingen at the tournament, and now we try to set the same spirit, I would say. So we're just basically the biggest cheerleaders that are out there. We like to say that we're trying to give as much energy as possible in good times and in bad times.
Because you said once, that's actually really important. It's easy for everybody to support your team when you're up.
Yeah, I mean, when you make 3 threes in a row, it's easy to cheer, right? But now be motivating and enthusiastic when you have a timeout when they made three threes in a row, for example. Yeah, that's something you can learn, I think. Just do it every time; it gets easier. And I mean, you know what you're doing it for. You want them to forget what just happened, learn from it really fast, and come out a timeout and make your own run. And yeah, I think positive. That you need to be positive for that, and get the players in a positive mindset again.
And I think it's really contagious.
Yeah.
No.
contagious. That's why it's so important. But I something interesting you said is you implemented that already also in Bamberg. I haven't seen a lot of games, but I just believe you, let's say. Mm-hmm. And in Göttingen, and I know for a fact, especially during the tournament, you could tell that that was true. And now I'm asking myself, how do you implement that to a team or into the culture of a team? Like having in, like making sure that they don't fake it. You know what I mean? Like I don't mm-hmm. ever have the feeling that with you guys, it's like fake support or something. I really believe that they're actually supporting. And how do you implement that, that it comes from within, that they just don't do it to like make the coach be quiet and not like let them know? Or, I don't know. You know, well,
I think first of all, the coach makes it important because he talks about it. And he talks mm-hmm. about it and he explains players, you know, there is no crowd that can carry you basically, you know, when you're down 10 and you make a big stop and you dunk on the other side and the gym explodes, that gives everybody wings. It's not there yet. So we have to be our own crowd now, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, positive energy will carry on. It is contagious. And so we make it important as a team. Coach Johan talks about it. He lets the players know we think it's important. And then I think Dom and I, for sure, we lead by example. And that.
I was about to say that. Last but not least, lead by example. Huh? Yeah. That's the key.
And we're on the front of the bench. So, you know, if we look to the other side of the court, everybody sees us jumping up. And, you know, then.
Always fun to watch and listen to you guys. I can tell you that.
Happy to hear, but you know, there's nothing fake about that.
I mean, in the third quarter of the last game, my voice was gone. I don't even know why, but whenever I do my warm-ups at the end of my 15 minutes, my voice is always gone, and I have no clue. If somebody is out there and can help me with that, that would be awesome.
I mean, that's another task we have in common. The first year when I played with you guys in BBL, I mean, I was, you know, Dom mentioned it a lot of times on this practice that I was actually a practice guy. But that was my fucking job during the, exactly. the game. Really, like literally, that's what I sometimes got paid for, acting like a fool on the bench.
Acting like a fool. But also, I mean, I've seen, I was there most of the games. So, yeah. And I know that you and was it you and Lenny?
Me and Lenny, yeah.
And was Jakob also there?
Jakob Albrecht, Lenny Larisch. Yeah.
No, that was the year after me.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't there anymore.
He had the same role. And he did perfect as well. Yeah.
I mean, if you like, yeah. Not, let's not get too deep into roles, but if that can also be a good role, I'm not trying to take anything away from them, especially, and also not from me, obviously. Mm-hmm.
No, and one other thing that I always used to tell my players, you know, if you're active on the bench, like cheering and you know, talking, watch the screen there, stuff that you would communicate on the court as well. If you get subbed in, you're always more ready.
Yeah,
that's my. That's also
I 100% agree.
Take on for me on that one.
I don't know about earlier, but that's my first little brain pop again. It's nothing new, but it's just something I realized again. Yeah. Nice.
Be active in the game. It's a good one.
Okay.
It works. Yeah.
When are you satisfied with your job?
When am I satisfied with my job? Well, if there were no surprises, if we look back and there were no surprises, basically. So that means my preparation was well and nothing slipped away from me or I didn't miss anything. So if there were no surprises, then basically I'm satisfied about doing my job. But in the end, it's professional sports and you want to win. So if they surprise us 20 times and we win, I'm probably more happy and more satisfied than the other way around.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah. So, yes. But, I mean, it can be very satisfying. I remember in Göttingen a couple nights when I was working late, I'm sitting like all by myself in the office and I don't know, 11, 12, 1 at night or something. And then you figure out like the whole fist series from team this and that. And then you're like, oh, I got fist 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 now. Yes. And I'm basically celebrating on my own at 1 o'clock in the middle of the night. Everybody is sleeping. So it can be very satisfying.
So these are the so-called small wins. Yeah.
Those are small wins, big victories, though.
if the puppies could see his face right now, the way he talked about this, that was just pure satisfaction just on that answer right there.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Hilke, congratulations. You're in the right business.
Yes. Yeah, I figured that out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So we have talked now about your role doing games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also your role like doing preseason, but let's be more specific. What is your role doing practices, for example? Do you just stay there and watch, or
do I stay there and watch? I try to do a little bit more than stay and watch. My role on practice, first of all, I want to bring the right energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to keep like an eye on what's happening around the court, so basically help you provide when you warm up with your stuff, make mm-hmm. sure everything's clear,
mm-hmm.
cleared out, make sure the water is there, just check all those things. And it's not my main job to that the water is there for the players, for example, but I'm always checking on those things.
Because tell me a little secret.
Effort.
No, Leonard, here comes the secret.
Oh, I know where you're going. Never assume.
Oh my God, I don't know how often I had to listen to that, but it is a very, too. Very, very good
me
one.
Me too. Oh. Yeah,
it always works. So I'm just basically with my head up on practices, looking around to make sure everything is arranged around the practice. You know, if there's a wet spot, I'm making sure that somebody is sweeping. Might be me, might be Dom, might be Enzo, or whoever there is, stuff like that. Our physio is doing the 24-second shot clock. If he's needed on the court with a player, I'm the guy that makes sure that somebody else is taking over the shot clock. So those are the things around the court, basically. And then on the court, I always try to position myself like totally opposite of Johan. So basically like referees, you know, they work all night, always opposite. That's how I try to position myself on the court. So that we both of us combined have the best vision on the court, I would say. And then what I do, I'm coaching, of course, during practices, during trying to help players. I mean, Johan mostly does the general topics, and then he sometimes talks to player specific. And I like to jump in here and there to get like an individual player to tell him about something that he needs to do, or that he did really well, or that he needs to do different. So I'm always like in between the players, I would say, there, not the general talking coach, which is of course the head coach, but more on a little personal level, where other players don't even have to notice it that I'm talking to somebody, and then help them with
that. That's really, really interesting. Like building, like some that you just talked about, because that's also written down in our notes. Like the relationship, the building relationship with players. And where the difference is between the relationship of a head coach with players and then compared to the assistant coach, and like how do you complement each other? Kind of just like you described earlier during practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, my role and my job and my task, but also my personality suits well, is to always be helpful and friendly and motivating to the players, always. So also after a bad game, when the coach might be mad or not satisfied or stuff like that, or practice didn't run well, then that's also what Johan wants from me. I need to be, and to Dom with me, of course, we need to be the positive vibe then to, you know, to turn around the vibe if it's not going too well. Keep the spirits up, exactly. So yeah, that's... And then how you, yeah, I mean, players come to me for extra little video sessions if they don't understand something, or if they want to see something extra, or, you know, they want to check on their offenses, or if players come later with the team and they're behind on the on the tactics, you know, I help them with that. So I'm always trying to help players with as much as possible. And it's basically always basketball-wise. Yeah, just the little things, yeah, you know, the little individual things. I mean, the coach has the responsibility for the whole team, the head coach. So I maybe have the responsibility for all the little things around that, the little individual stuff.
Individual, yeah, yeah, I get it. Yeah, makes sense. Makes total sense, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, what I also liked, what you said before, you were talking about basketball during practice, that, you know, he also checks the small things, like if there's water, if there's enough water arranged, if there, I don't know, if there's some sweat on the court that needs to get
swept off,
exactly. And that is a little bit what I always, and one of my favorite phrases is sweep the sheds. Sweep the sheds basically means just don't be too big for the small things that need to be done. And I think that that's something that characterizes all of us. We are just doing
the whole staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole staff, you guys, the whole group you guys have together, that's that goes without saying. Like, you guys are like all in for each other, and like nobody is gonna look, I don't know, at the other one just working his butt off and then just chilling.
Yeah, nobody would ever dare saying, oh, that's not my job.
No, I totally agree. I mean, it helped that I worked in the flowers and plants. Even though I was like a manager for a lot of years there, you still have to do everything. So I'm pretty used to sweeping the shed, which I literally did.
I had this one more question. Dom, I'm browsing. If you have one, shoot it.
I mean, you talked already about the relationship to players. That was really interesting. Maybe we had that in the beginning, but maybe give us a little bit, like, maybe a short version. How does a day look like for you, for example? You know, I mean, you touched on it in the beginning already, mm-hmm. but just a regular day.
Let's say tomorrow, yeah. So I come in, and then I probably do some scouting work first, like the first hour. And then I always clean the coffee machine and clean the kitchen. That's my morning routine. So we all have our little routines outside of our job descriptions. And then do a video for an hour or something, some scouting, can be everything. And then I started to prepare for the video session, which we have with the team. So I talked to Johan. Johan let me know what we want, what kind of video session we want. Then I prepare that. I make nice front pages for the video sessions. So everything is nice and smooth for the players and named. Then we go to practice. Then I basically do my practice, what we just talked about. And then after practice, we watch the practice back, and we cut video clips from that to watch the
video
next day.
Video just keeps on coming back.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it's a lot of video.
It's a lot of screen time for you.
It is a lot of screen time. That's why I'm super happy. Yeah, we still go on the court sometimes.
Do you have also these stupid glasses?
What?
These orange ones?
No.
No, I thought Dom already
I sleep
you.
Like a baby. I have no problem sleeping at all. No. So yeah, then it's back to scouting. And tomorrow is going to be probably details about scouting. We got some games coming up. But we basically are preparing for all three of them already. And I'm close to getting done with the last game. So it's preparing for the video sessions already, making front pages from all the players that are coming up in the next days. Yeah, that's basically it. And then we go to weights, shooting. Yeah, we do shooting practice in the afternoon. I do that together with Stefan Weisenberg, our skills development trainer. And he is the lead in that. I assist him in that, which is super nice. I have to say.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we have one more question regarding not your work. I know Dom doesn't even like. I don't know if Dom can even talk not about work because he works all freaking day. But Hilke, what do you do when you, let's say, maybe not a whole off day, but what do you do when to like relax, to get your mind off stuff? I'm kind of aiming somewhere.
You're aiming to somewhere that is for me at the moment impossible in Bamberg.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And it's not your flower
enthusiasm. It's no flower arrangements. I would love to go fishing in my off days, off mornings, stuff like that. Which actually the Corona time helped me a little bit with that because we had some spare times and I just got my angelschein in Göttingen last year. So I was finally able to go fishing. And I did a couple times and quite successful, I have to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason why I'm aiming for this is obviously that we talked about golf kind of as a, let's say, rehab or let's recovery method, and because and it has a big hype right now, the golfing in the basketball community, and also I think I don't know if in the basketball community, but I also think so the fishing also really is up there, and the players, and or at least I know a lot of players that are into it, if not players then just in general people. Why do you think is that, like what is it about fishing?
For me, it's two things I have to say. One is just being outside, and that's probably the same as with go. You're outside. It's just a nice, a different scene than a screen or a basketball court. Just being inside, basically all the time. I need the outdoors. So yeah, fishing is a great reason for me to go outdoors. The other thing is it totally gets my mind off the daily struggles, let's say like that. And yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who don't fish say that fishing is really boring. So they would say like, okay, if you're bored, then you got all the time to think about your work and stuff like that. But for me, it's totally opposite. I mean, if fishing is boring, you do something wrong, first of all. So... and otherwise, you have to make it yourself interesting. And I mean, there's a level of excitement in fishing. And especially if you... I mean, there's some kind of fishing that are more interesting than other ones, anxiety-wise. If you fish with the electronic beepers, you know, you just throw it in, basically wait until you hear beep, and then you
it comes
fish.
Out fried.
Almost. Yeah, that would be amazing. I would still do that though. Yeah. And then you have the fishing on site, basically, where you just are looking around hunting for fishing, for fishes, and you hope you'll see one, and then you know, you just sneak up there through the reeds on the bank, and you know, lower your lure or your bait in front of his nose and then watch him go get your bait. That can be super exciting. You really, I remember that I used to do that a lot. I mean, the opportunities in Göttingen were not for that kind of fishing. But your heartbeat really raises on those moments when you see a fish going for your lure, and you see the fish coming, and you're just hoping it's going to go for it. And especially if it's a huge fish, you know, we're talking about 10, 15, 20 kilo fish, which is possible, then it can get really exciting. And then your mind is off of daily struggles for sure, because you're there at that moment and nowhere else. So yeah, it's a mental relief for sure for me as well.
That's kind of what they our guest described during golf, especially Bennett, you know, like I guess that's the parallel right there, like just getting your mind off the sport and then the calmness being outside around you, because if you think about it, you guys and the players, you work in extreme situations during games, like usually, mm-hmm. let's say, super loud, super fast, super intense.
Yeah.
And then I guess it would just make sense that you look for hobbies that are maybe not as adventurous, let's say.
That would make sense.
Well, no, adventurous is exactly the wrong word, the way you just described fishing, let's say, active.
Yeah. Physically active.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying.
I totally get you. Yeah. Another thing that I like to do is cooking, probably. That's my other, how do you say that, piece of...
art.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate that.
That's true art.
No, that's just a hobby. I never had classes or whatever, but I really like to be in the kitchen and fool around with food. You know, that's also something that takes my mind off the daily business. And keeps you fresh for the daily business as well. You know, it's not that you want to get away from it, but you want to get fresh the next day again to have full energy. So that's all also a good one, I would say.
Dom, do we want to get into the brain pops section where we talk about maybe past brain pops we
it's,
had on
it
episodes?
It is absolutely ridiculous. I was about to ask exactly that, without asking you for permission, though. So yeah,
because we got to take advantage of Hilke since he listened to.
Yeah, I mean Hilke. I think Hilke is a really a true puppy, right?
I think I'm a.
Is
true
there
puppy.
An episode you missed?
I don't think so. I mean, I was in the car yesterday for 4 hours, so I caught up on a couple. But yeah, I think.
Is
I
there any
them all.
Anything sticking out to you?
Anything sticking out to me, jeez.
Or something that made you think a little bit afterwards, where you're like, that's an interesting take up.
I got reminded of something that I knew that I shouldn't do. That was with the podcast with Rosie.
Yeah.
And she was talking about the mask and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, for some people it's a normal thing and they should always worry about their health and stuff like that. And you know, I basically busted myself that I was looking at people with masks and I was like, oh man, you know, why do you do that? You know,
yeah, same. That was exactly what happened to me too.
Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, you know, never judge something that you just don't know. It's so wrong. And I knew that. And I was, basically caught myself red-handed, especially in the corona time, in the start of it. Yeah. And I was like, good
because
one.
You simply That's never know.
Reminder. Yeah, you simply never know what's going on with somebody else.
And you got to think back. That was like right when we recorded with Rosie. And maybe for the English listeners, just a little bit of explanation.
Yeah.
It was during the beginning of the corona pandemic. I think I'm not sure about the date, but it was, let's say, still pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josie has this... I don't know the English word, illness, where she's, let's say, just she has the how do you say it?
Poor lung function.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why for her, she's like, she really got to take care that she doesn't get corona. And the way she talked about that, that was really also back in the day for me, a big brain pop. That was a very emotional episode, let's say, but unfortunately it's in German, so the English listeners cannot... follow up on that.
Yeah. I mean, it was just basically a good lesson for life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't judge people. You don't know what's going on in their lives.
It's a great brain pop, Hilke.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't mine. But it's a great one. What else?
Well,
What else did we talk about?
We had Francesco there.
Yeah, I mean, Francesco was nice. I know Francesco for a little while already, so there was nothing new there, but some good ones for sure. You know, how important body language is. I really like that one.
Yeah.
I used to and like to tell all my young players that I had when I was coaching youth how important it is, and that you should not underestimate body language on and off the court. So I totally agree.
There's also, you told me about one brain pop you had from Stefan Quirnbach, the golf episode.
Remind me, please.
Yeah, that you should not focus on the ball when you swing the golf club.
Yeah, but I haven't tried it yet.
Ah, okay. I was about to ask. Yeah. Have you guys ever tried that? Because I haven't tried
no,
it.
No, I haven't been on the court, on the driving range lately. Season has started, so I got to make time for it now.
Yeah, yeah, but I will try it for sure. If any golfing poppies are out there, try to play golf without focusing on the ball and let us know if it's working or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm going to sing during my swing.
To
release my tension. Yeah.
Put your tongue out. That's also what he said.
Yeah. That's also a good one. Yeah, I will try those things for sure. Yeah, good ones.
All right, Leonard.
Yeah, I have one last little bit something I want to say, because one of my brain pops I already talked about a lot in the after episodes, but from Francesco's episode was the how you react to mistakes and how you handle mistakes and how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I already gave this out to you of this little tool that I'm using for work. Some poppies know what I'm talking about if they listen to the episodes where I'm mentioning it. And back in the day when I was writing my bachelor thesis, Hilke did that tool and played the game. And there are some meta competencies that we try to like measure, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And one interesting thing sticked out to me, and that kind of also. Yeah, let's just say it makes sense that you're in the coaching business and why you're pretty good at it. We talked about with also after Francesco about with Bennett about mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he really likes the view for detail. And that kind of threw me a little bit off how he really wanted to know about every mistake he did. Like he was really clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but I mean, he's a young player. He wants to get better. I guess it makes sense because, you know, sometimes I'll be like, yeah, I did that little mistakes, but, you know, in the end it worked. So come on, you know, like I want to keep my hopes up or confidence high, you know, like mm-hmm. if you correct me too much. But I guess that's the difference why he's up there and I'm in the Oberliga. And and so during this tour, we measure also how fast you recognize your own mistakes. If you remember, we have this one rule where we tell you to like stop the task as soon as you know that in the maze you cannot get it right. And then we compare those times, you know, to our like huge amount of people, like 10,000 people who did that. Mm-hmm. And one competency of you was that you recognize your own mistakes like super fast, extremely fast. And the saying goes that also when you recognize your own mistakes pretty fast, you can also see them with others. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe where that's the attention probably to detail you sometimes need to like keep working on the game as an assistant coach and keep looking for individual improvements mm-hmm. of players and of the whole team. And that's something I wanted to share with everybody, because I think it just kind of fits again, you know, how well of a coach you probably are and will be.
I have the right job since 6 years.
Yeah, I think we can conclude that from this episode. I think if you didn't know before, you know now.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Leonard. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, the way we can end this, Dom, huh?
Yeah. Do you want to pop the question or do you?
Oh, yeah. We forgot last time. Dom,
Yeah,
that's something we haven't. Maybe before Hilke drops his nomination, we haven't asked Bennett. So we asked the poppies about nominations. Dom, do you still have some in mind that we need to cover up on? Because they send us actually a lot of messages on Instagram.
Yeah, I know. There were 3 or 4 times was Hilke von der Sweep on there.
Yeah, we definitely followed up on that one. So keep shooting them, poppies. It's working, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. So
you want my nominee?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Please.
Are you ready, Leonard?
Enlighten us.
I'm ready.
Well, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for you guys because of the time difference.
I know what's coming.
Yes. I would
like to
nominate Mitch Creek.
Creaky!
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I like that. Mitch, let's do that.
He was a player in Göttingen for... 2 months, I think, something like that.
He
finished his season in Australia, and that's when he came to Göttingen to help us out in the end. And I have to say, Mitch and also Will Bufor, who helped us out that season in the end, a little longer. They turned some things around, and Johan,
they got us over the hump, to say the least.
Yeah, exactly. And not just only by being very good basketball players, but also the energy that those guys brought to practice and around the team. That was new for me to see that on that level. And Johan talked about that those things already a couple times, and it was my first experience with it, how one or two players can really change the complete energy in a team and on practice, and everything got so competitive all of a sudden on practices. And yeah, that was super interesting to see for me. And I think Mitch is a great, super funny guy. We've seen some things in the world, sniffed at the NBA a little bit, played in Europe, played
made
in Australia.
Made his dream come true.
Yeah. So I think...
I had the honor of visiting him. And
yeah, I was going to say.
For 2.5 weeks. 2 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can definitely make this work. That's a great nomination. And I remember that turnaround in practice, because that was the point where I couldn't keep up anymore.
Well, that's also a good thing. If your practice players cannot keep up anymore, that means the level is improving.
Yeah. Creaky, you little pelican. That's how he called me all the time.
Little pelican.
Yeah, I'm going to reach out
guys,
to you.
Guys, it was so much fun talking to you. It was really a lot of fun, Hilke. Thanks for coming. Dom, thanks for preparing.
And, thank you, Leonard.
I'm really excited for the upcoming episodes also.
Thanks, Hilke.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Leonard.
Pleasure.
Take care. And make sure that you find a place where you can get a haircut. Otherwise, we start a crowdfunding over Brand Pups.
Yes, please. See you guys.
Desperate. Bye.
Ciao.